I'm telling you, the life is beginning to manifest. I can feel it in the atmosphere. Heaven on the earth. Hey, don't let this holiday season get you distracted. Let the glory of God, a tempestuous whirlwind, stir in your heart. The glory of the life of God. Have fun in this holiday season, but don't lose what you've gained. Let it multiply exceedingly. Oh, we're living an amazing day. I'm feeling his life. I'm telling this well comes up. It's eternal. You got eternal living waters inside of you. Waters of life. And his word's a hammer that breaks and shatters the well in pieces. It breaks that capstone where those waters burst out. Glory to God forever. When you walk in the spirit, everything stays in the same vein. Amen. Today, we're going to go on an awesome little journey today. We're going to go into the realm that was for a little while, the realm that is, and the realm that is to come. We're going to look at this word today in a brand new way. I want you to go to Hebrews 3. He cleaves the rock in the wilderness and the waters gush forth. He gives us drink from the great depths. A new script for our life, beginning from within. Oh, the glory of God overcoming. The word of the resurrection. We're following him all the way to the day of demonstration. We're in Hebrews 3 and verse 7. He says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, this day of December, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. We're going to go into the provocation today a little bit. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted and proved me and saw my works 40 years. You know what was so upset? Is the reason why he was so upset with that generation. There's a lot of reasons, but they murmured, they complained, they brought forth the evil report. We'll get into that a little bit today. But it's because he showed them his works. He showed him his glory. He showed that generation more miracles than any generation had ever seen. He opened a river for them. They walked through the Red Sea and it swallowed up their enemies and delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. And all they ever did was complain about it. And he was upset. He says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation that they do always err in the heart. They've not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath. They would not enter into my rest. Now I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4. That whole generation, except for two, were commanded to die off. Except for two people. Their children were going to remain, but the whole generation had to die off except for two people. Now look at verse 1, Hebrews 4. It says, let us therefore fear lest the promise... Uh-oh, here we go. We're a house of promise. Look at your neighbor and say, this is a house... a promise. Verse 2, he says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Do you know God preached the gospel? Their gospel was the good news. Their gospel was a promised land filled with milk and honey. They were under slavery to the Egyptians all their life. 400 years of bondage. And God's telling him, I have a promised land for you, filled with milk and honey. It's land you're going to sow, you're going to reap, you're going to plant, you're going to freely reap where you didn't labor. Cities and homes, he told them, cities and homes you did not build. Vineyards and olive yards, they never owned anything. They served in the vineyards of someone else all their life. And God said, I'm going to give you ownership. I'm going to give you inheritance. That was their word, a land of inheritance. It's your land, a land of promise. He told them before they ever left it was theirs. He preached it to them all the way. He opened the Red Sea for them, swallowed up their enemies. How'd you like all your enemies to be swallowed up? Not in the natural, but all your spiritual enemies to be swallowed up in one setting. I mean, swallowed up all those things that have been dogging your track all these years, just swallowed up in one setting. They would preach the gospel. The word preached did not profit them. You can hear the word forever. It is not going to profit you until you do what Dina was saying earlier. Not being mixed with faith. Say not. Faith is a substance that you must operate. It's a muscle. It's a living operation. You were designed to walk by faith, designed to live by faith, designed to understand faith, designed to be in faith. If you're in faith, it's the greatest thing ever. If you're not, you're miserable. There is no life unless you live in faith. Faith will calm every storm. But you have to learn the way of faith. You have to do it. It's like a muscle. The more you do it, the more it lives. You will face off enemies. There'll be days you'll be speaking and nothing moves. And you keep speaking and nothing moves. And you keep, and in some days, everything just bam! Breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. And we hadn't even begun birth yet. Carrying a living word. I used to be so miserable because I didn't know how to carry it. But once I learned how to carry it, because I actually let him carry it, I learned how to surrender. Then I learned how to pick it back up in the right hand of God. And I learned how to walk out. I'm going to tell you something. If you understand the face of God, the day you learn the face of God and learn to step out beyond where you are, whenever I get stuck, I just leave where I am and I go to where I'm going to be. Because in Christ, He's already completed me. Do you know what we look like in Him? Do you know what we look like in our future? Do you know what you're made of? You're made of life. Look at pinch yourself. Touch yourself. All of this body is going to turn to a substance called life. Glory. Light. And it's going to emanate out of you. It's going to emanate out of your mind. It's going to emanate out of your emotions. Life will govern your emotions for eternity. Life, joy, peace, love, goodness, mercy. It's going to emanate out of you freely. And it's never going to stop. It's going to satisfy you every second of every hour for eternity. That is who you are. Christ already has given and won that battle. You don't have to win that battle. He already did it. What you have to do is learn how to receive it. Didn't she say that? Receive. Faith must learn to receive. I want to share the legacy. God floated this up to my spirit all week long. He's been floating this up in my spirit. Our greatest inheritance is upon us. It's called life. A singular word that encompasses everything. A singular word called life that encompasses every aspect of God. Every fountain of God is in life. Every fruit of God is in the life. It's all good. Praise God. The gospel was preached. We have a gospel. We have a good news. We have a promised land of two double rivers, one of the crown and one of the river of life. It is our destiny to give birth to it into the earth. It's our destiny to see that thing fill the entire earth. God has His seeds. When I was looking at that report, the Lord said, these are all seeds going out. I just want you to know it's going out. Some nations, 200 or 300, some 4 or 5, but seeds are being thrown out. He goes, every one of them are going to produce harvest. He goes, that's going to turn to 1 million downloads. He's just telling me that. And then it's going to turn to 2 million downloads. Say, I am an inheritor of the earth. I'm clothed in the majestic glory of God. I take off the dishonor the earth brings. I put on the honor of my King. For we, verse 3, which do believe, enter into His rest. You know what the rest was? The rest was the promised land. That was the rest. And He said, as I've sworn in my wrath, they shall enter in. As I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, what particularly upset God became a generational inheritance for a few. I want you to go back in your Bible for a moment into Numbers 13. But I'm going to look specifically today at a man named Caleb. This man was extraordinary. Now, as you know, that in Numbers 13, this is when Moses sent the 12 spies. They weren't the spies. They were the chief captain of the tribes. Every tribe had a calf, and they were chosen because they were the mighty man, like the king of their tribe. Think of the governor or prince of each tribe was chosen. They were the best of the best. 12 of the very best. Joshua was with there. Caleb represented the house of Judah and the other 10. And they went in. And Moses says, bring me back the report. And they ascended down, as you know the story. They were called to go to a very specific place. They entered in immediately. They went south. They went straight to Mount Hebron, the land of inheritance. For those of you who don't know, that's where Abraham was buried, Isaac was buried, Jacob was buried. All of them spent a lot of their life there. All their wives except one were all buried there. That all the patriarchs and every wife except one were all buried there. Buried in the mountain. Suddenly, 400 years later, that anointing got up in that mountain. It had to have gotten that mountain because it was producing fruit like no other place in the Promised Land. You remember when Elijah, the dead man, fell on Elisha's bones? Remember? The dead Moabite? They threw him on, and the bones had so much anointing. How'd you like you have so much anointing in your body when you're dead? It's still raising people from the dead. Immediately the man was raised from the dead. You are a container of the glory of God. And so, all these patriarchs had the blessing of generational inheritance, buried them in that mountain. And all of a sudden, that mountain's producing fruit. They got the attention of the devil's crowd. The giants were there. That's where the giants were. The Anakims. They all gathered around Mount Hebron. And that's exactly where God sent them in. To go get the land. Isn't that something when God gives you a promise? And you think you're going to walk and not have a battle? Your battle, your giant is your promotion. Your giant is your promotion. Your battle is your promotion. But if you don't do it God's way, you're not getting promoted. Thank God in our covenant, you just go around the mountain again. In their covenant, you get wiped out. You just die if you don't do it right. In our covenant, God said, send them around again. Another lap. Send them around. In that covenant, careful you get all robed up in that old covenant like that, because they died when they didn't get it right. This is death. I mean, God was pretty tough with them. But the giants were there. The Anakims were there. David's promotion. Goliath was David's promotion. The giants were there to be displaced. You're not going to stand in front of a giant and get ready that day. You better be ready before the day. God prepares you for the battle. He prepares your faith in the prayer calls. And he prepares you when you wake up and you get in there with God and you don't think anything's happened. He's preparing you for a battle of the ages. He's preparing you to take something down. He is preparing you for being an inheritor of the earth. And yes, you're going to have battles. Ours will just begin. Wait till God puts this thing on the map. Media starts doing what they do. Be loved and hated. I mean, God, and no uncertain terms, has already prepared me. He goes, you will be loved, you will be hated. But follow my word. The same way you follow my word in the wilderness, you'll follow my word in the promised land. Just don't let go and I'll get you through. The Anakims were there. They brought forth the evil report. Let's just read a little bit. And they said, brought forth word, verse 26, Numbers 13. And they told him and said, verse 27, we came on the land whither thou sinnest, and surely it flows with milk. It's exactly what you said it was. And this is the fruit of it. That wasn't a little pinch of grapes you get at H-E-B. There wasn't no bag of grapes. It took two men with a staff. They brought those grapes out. Two men, think of the vision, on a staff. That was the fruit of the promised land, the grapes. Could you imagine what else was in that land? Giants built big houses. Giants built some big houses. Somebody inherited them houses. I mean, might as well have a house of a giant. Praise God, he told them big water wells, big lands, think big. God said, this is your land. And they come back and said, this is the fruit of the land. It's awesome. It's glorious. But nevertheless, you better get nevertheless out of your vocabulary. Everyone say, nevertheless, be thou removed. There is no nevertheless with God.
today if you hear his word. Better grab hold of what he says to you. Never let it go. You want to be a champion? You want to be something? Learn to keep a word. Keep it more than 2 or 3 months. Keep a word 6 months. Keep a word a year. Keep a word 2 years. And never let it out of your mouth. Keep it in the frontlets of your eyes. Don't let 2 or 3 days go without speaking that word. You want to see a champion? You want to provoke a battle? You want to graduate? This house is about to graduate. You have to mix faith. It's awesome because faith keeps you alive. It says, nevertheless, verse 28, the people will be strong that dwell in the land. Cities are walled. Do you have any idea what I'm going through? Very great. Moreover, the children of Anak there. And Caleb stilled the people. Verse 30. And said, let us go up at once and possess it. We're well able. He's 40 years old. But he was ready. He heard the word of God. He had that word in his heart. He didn't let it go. So the time he was facing the giant, he didn't see giant. He saw the word. Your word must grow bigger inside of you than your giant. If you want to see the mountain move, your word must become greater than what you see. You're going to have to learn to see the invisible realm and let that realm get greater than what you see out here. That's how it works. See the glory up inside. But the men went up and said, we be not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we. Boy, that made God mad. And they brought up an evil report. It searched the land. Look at verse 32. Midway through in the land through which we've gone to search it, a land that eateth up the inhabitants. And all the people we saw are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants. The sons of Anak, they were your promotion. Verse 33, and we were in our own sight as grasshopper. And so we were in their sight. Say, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. That therein is the problem. You cannot, when you are an heir, operate with grasshopper mentality. You're not going to get this is by renewing the mind. You got to get him to renew your spirit. You got to get up in Christ and let him build you up. Let him expand you. Let him make you something. And then come face your giant. You will not act like a grasshopper if you dwell with Christ in the right hand of God. He will empower you to speak to mountains. He'll make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth to thresh the mountains and beat them small. You have to be prepared for your giant. Prepared for your promotion. You got to be ready. Chapter 14. And the children murmured. And the whole congregation, verse 2. Numbers 14. Would to God we died in the land of Egypt. Or would to God we died in this wilderness. Wherefore, look at this indictment right here. You be thankful you haven't seen the glory of God, because you see the glory of God and speak against it. They saw the glory of God. They were delivered. They saw an ocean swallow up an entire army. And they're talking like this. This is what God was mad. He goes, I showed you miracles that no one else saw. I expected you to understand I was with you. And it says, wherefore, verse 3, the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and return to Egypt. That's called, if any man draws back, my soul has no pleasure. You know, they did. It's been really good to just keep their mouth shut right there. What poisoned them was a report of 10 men poisoning an entire nation. Watch who you get around. Watch their words. Watch people of unbelief. Do not give your faith to somebody who's always complaining and murmuring. They'll poison you. You can't allow your faith to be poisoned and be effective. 10 men poisoned, and God knew it. Caleb and Joshua were stirring, said, no, wait a minute. They were trying to stir that thing back in the right direction. They fell on their face. They rent their clothes. They're saying, wait a minute. There were voices of life trying to speak. But those 10 had already released the poison. And everybody came under unbelief. This was the provocation, the day of provoking. This is where they provoked God. In Joshua verse 6, the son of Nun and Caleb, say, Caleb, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, they spake unto the company of children, saying, the land which we passed the search, it is exceedingly good. Come on, guys. If the Lord delight us, he will bring us unto this land and give it to us. The land that flows with milk and honey. Look at verse 9. Only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear the people of the land, for they're bread for us. Don't you love that? They're bread for us. They are our substance. They're going to fall. Nothing like a giant falling. It'll reverberate through the land. Boom. He said, their defense is parted. So the defense is parted. Their bread and their defense. I say it all the time. You are bread from me. Your defense is parted from you. You have no defense for what we bring. Caleb, David, Joshua, they all talked with the same type of thing. It's called faith. Faith speaks. You don't know what I'm going through. Oh no, we don't have a clue in the world. We've been carrying this and tiptoeing through the tulips for all these years. Not a single battle ever. Because we don't follow a man. We hold his word. His word is living. His word is moving. His word has a destination called promised land, manifested glory. Verse 11, and all the congregation bade stones, picked up stones, and wanted to stone a man for speaking faith. This was Caleb and Joshua. God, woo, he appeared. His glory appeared. He was ready to take them all out. He appeared. Whoo, the glory appeared. He was ready. Everybody, God was about to lay the hammer down. And Moses, man, Moses had authority with God. He stopped God's hand many times from destroying the whole people. Wait, God. Wait a minute. If you destroy them, then what are the nations going to say about you that you could deliver your people, but you couldn't bring them in? Now you destroyed them all. Man, Moses, that man could stop God. He turned God around from wanting to destroy them. He said, listen, he goes, I'm not going with you, but I'll send my angels. I'll send my hornets. They'll get it done, but I'm not going with you anymore. And Moses said, no, stay. Turned him from staying all the way to show me your glory to going up in the mountain of God. He was incredible. Had a lot of way with God. He said, wait, stop. He goes, all right, deal. But those 10, they're done. They died in one day with a plague. You can read about it later. 10 of them wiped out. And all the rest of them, he goes, you're going back to the wilderness. And you're going to travel 1 year. For every day that you were in the promised land, your punishment is you'll spend a year in the wilderness for every one day you were in the promised land. 40 years until this generation dies off and I'll bring your children in, except Joshua and Caleb. And that's where he promised Caleb something. I never understood it because when they came back in, right before they came in, Moses died and Joshua received the mantle to lead, but what about Caleb? I mean, Joshua was made to lead, but you don't hear a lot about Caleb. But he was there doing it too. He was there. But God promised him something that day. Because Joshua was going to get the mantle of leadership, but Caleb got something greater. Caleb's inheritance is living today. It's up inside us right now. If you understand what Caleb was promised, God gave him something that's living. And it continues to live. He said, all of you are going to die. He goes, I'll make a greater nation. Verse 23. Surely they will not see the land I swore unto their fathers. Verse 24, Numbers 14. But my servant Caleb. Now, he already knew Joshua was going to take the command. That was going to be his reward. He got to command the armies, go in there. He was the leader. He got the mantle. He got Moses' mantle. He led the nation. Hayden, there are no second best in the kingdom. Everybody gets rewarded that does it God's way. Think about this. He says something to Caleb that day. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, everyone say, I got another spirit, have wholly followed me. I will bring him into the land wherein he went, and his seed will possess it. I will bring him into the land wherein he traveled. I'm going to give him that very mountain that everybody spoke against. That's going to be his. They hadn't apportioned anything to anybody yet. Nobody got their portions, but God apportioned that to Caleb that day. He said, he gets Mount Hebron. He's going to get that land, which off you go to the wilderness. Can you imagine doing everything right and having to go serve 40 years in the wilderness because somebody else's mistake? There are times, because God deals with human beings, that we're supposed to go in earlier than we did. Because things happen, we get delayed. But God's plan, delay is not denial. They had to go walk 40 years. 40 years can do a lot to you. There's nothing to eat out there. They're looking, journeying for their next drink of water. I mean, you can understand that they wanted to murmur a little bit. They got quail because they murmured. They could have just asked for quail and requested. God probably would have gave it to them. But they didn't ask, they murmured about it. And God said, you want quail? I'm going to rain quail. You're going to have so much quail, you're going to beg me to stop. Caleb could have been a very, he could have been a very bitter man after all that, honestly. And I did everything right. You never hear him on any complaint. And there was a lot of them. There was a team right there said, listen, we're going to go in anyway. And Moses said, the ark's not going in. Don't go. You can't leave a word before it's time to go do something in the flesh. And there was a people, they made themselves a leader. They said, we're going to go in now. And Moses said, don't do it. And they said, they charged up a hill and they got totally slaughtered, the whole company of them. And then other people turned back. But they said, keep going. Now it's come time for the apportionment. Go over, we'll close with this. Go to Joshua. So Joshua 14. Now they're back. They've been in the promised land. Joshua got the mantle. Caleb didn't get nothing. He's fighting with Joshua for 5 years. He's 85 years old now. He was 40 when they first went in. 45 years. 40 years in the wilderness. 5 years fighting with Joshua. Caleb hadn't got nothing. He's been the loyal soldier behind the scenes. Then he comes to Joshua. And he says something. And it picks it up. All Joshua 14 is about this. Verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to spy out the land. Verse 9. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein my feet have trodden shall be an inheritance, and my children's forever, because I wholly follow the Lord. Now, he's kept me alive these 45 years. He's 85 now. 40 in the wilderness, 5 years fighting with Joshua. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am, look at this man at 85 years old. One trip in the promised land, one promise from the Father, never let go. Look what comes barreling out of his mouth. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was within, even so my strength is now, both for war. 85 years old, ready to swing an axe. To both to go out and come in, give me more. Therefore this mountain, as the Lord spake, for you heard us in that day, the Anakims were there. The cities were great and fenced. If so, Lord, be with me, I will drive them out. He drove them out. And here's the story how it goes. God had not forgotten his servant Caleb. He got more than just a mountain.
He inherited something. God had eternal things in mind. Where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were buried. In the next 3 minutes, I'm going to lay it out for you. You ready? Here we go. Caleb drove them out. Now listen very careful as I give you a history lesson here. He drove them out to Ashdod and Gath. Drove them out. The giants displaced them at 85 years old. Moved mountains. Displaced giants. Inherited Mount Hebron. All the giants went to Gath. Gath grew a champion called Goliath that confronted the children of Israel the same way these giants confronted the children of Israel in that day. But God had a man with another spirit called David. And you know the story with David. He took him down. And then David ran from Saul for all those years. And then God said at the Battle of Ziklag, time, your sufferings are over. Time to be crowned. And he called David into Mount Hebron. Time to inherit my mountain. Time to inherit the inheritance of your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Caleb, my servant, that spent 45 years believing me for this mountain. I'm going to do something with this mountain. I'm going to forge a crown that's going to have eternal implications. And he crowned David that day, and he multiplied from 600 men in a wilderness to 348,000 in 3 days. The mountain gave forth his inheritance. He spent 7 years in Mount Hebron. Then they took that inheritance under that crown, and they took it to Jerusalem. And then he birthed a man called Solomon, the greatest Old Testament reign the earth had ever seen. A succession of kings. A glory of Solomon's house. You all know the story. Then God promises a man named Zerubbabel of a future kingdom before they went to Babylon in captivity. You know the story. And then comes the heir of all of it, Christ. He said, there'll never be a man to fail to sit upon your throne, David. The throne that was forged in Mount Hebron, that was forged by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Their mantle was in that mountain. Caleb spent 45-year legacy of faith, and I'm going to honor that man this day. And I'm going to forge a crown out of Mount Hebron. And then it went to Jerusalem, all that crown. And then he promises Christ is going to inherit that crown. Not once did he ever sit on the throne of David in the earth, but God reassigned the glory, the kingdoms, and the dominions. When he entered into the Ancient of Days, there was a reassignment of all that legacy, of all that faith, Abraham's legacy, Isaac's legacy, David's legacy, Zerubbabel's legacy, Caleb's legacy, all out of the house of Judah. Reassigned in the right hand of God, Christ wears the crown. Takes it up in the New Testament, said it's not for your generation to know. I'm taking it up right now. There'll be another generation which I'll bring it down. There'll be a little house called the Father's house. They'll be bold enough to keep my word to the very end to see the emergence of this crown return. Caleb's faith is in this crown. His legacy is in this crown. The rule of 1,000-year millennial reign is in that crown. God honored that man's faith that day because he saw way beyond time. God said, I'm going to give him something. Caleb, Joshua might be up there in the lights right now leading everybody, but boy, I got something in mind for you. You have captured my heart all because there's one word called faith. One word called faith would never let go. You've captured my heart, Caleb. I'm going to give you something of the everlasting legacy. I got something in mind for you. You are the inheritor of my mountain. Judah's the inheritor of my mountain. I'm going to bring a king out of this. I'm going to bring a mountain out of this. I'm going to bring an inheritance. And my son's going to inherit it all. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years in the earth. From the inheritance of that mountain. Is God awesome or what? Never, ever, ever, ever think your faith is not catching the attention of God. He spent a lifetime not seeing. He spent all eternity seeing. God has unfathomable things prepared for us all. He asks one thing. Keep my word. Don't let go. Keep the prize forever. You might be a little church walking around the wilderness, think we're going around in circles, but we're not. There's something living. It's building inside of us. It's living rivers. It's living waters. A living, invisible crown to the world, quite visible to us. Being decreed into the earth. Its arrival is at hand. Its arrival is at hand. It's imminent. And he chose his house. Chose us to be the house that gives birth. That's the kind of witnesses around the crown right now. They're all around. Everyone that had part. They're all looking. What's next, God? Every time the crown shows up, something starts multiplying. Caleb got the inheritance. David was multiplied from 600 men to 348,000. Solomon was multiplied out through the earth. In the glory, the latter-day house will be far greater than Solomon's. What's next for the crown? God's up in there. He's got it all up inside him. He goes, I'm not telling. I only show you a little bit to keep you on track. What's next when this thing touches down? What's next for us when this glory touches down? Touchdown. Say touchdown. When the glory explodes out of the house. When a fountain in the last day explodes out of the temple of the living God. What's next for us? What does God have in design? We're sitting, it's inside of us. Hallelujah. I feel like Mary. I got a baby inside of me. He's got destiny. He's got glory. There's a crown. It's destiny. There's glory. Oh, man. I used to run around with all the people who had glory on them. I go to their meetings, travel to cities. I don't want to go nowhere. I want to go right here. We got something. We have a treasure beyond treasure. Don't ever, just because you get familiar with it. We are participating in historical legacy right now, and they're all watching and waiting what's happening. And the one thing, and I'm going to, you opened with it, I'm going to close with it. The one thing God wants, more than anything, He wants us to be found in faith. When the Lord cometh, will He find faith? If His word's in our mouth, if it's in our heart, if it's in... written on the pages of the Constitution, in our mouth, in our hands, in the frontlets of our eyes, as long as it's there, we're on our way. The day we let go of that, take me home. I'm nothing without that word, and I'm nothing without the faith attached to it. It's a new day! I'm already feeling the life of the brand new day. Come on, let's give God glory. Look at them. Okay, come on, I want to stop. Yeah, baby. Booyah, booyah. That's the sound of my next Harley right there. Come on. Rum, rum, rum. Come on. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. TD Jakes, I got nothing on us. Come on.